Matthew chapter 27, verse number 15. The Bible says, "Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. God, thank you for the safety you give us on the way here this morning. Thank you for a warm building that we can come and just meet together and look at your word, Lord, and glean things from it. God, I pray that you be with my mind this morning and my words that I say. Lord, help me to be hid behind the cross this morning. Help me to glorify you and help us to learn some lessons from your word this morning. Thank you just for all that you do for us. Thank you for your love for us. And help our preacher this morning, give him strength as he preaches, just be with him. Help all the other Sunday school teachers as they teach, and help them to be able to convey the truth to the children, to the age group that they're teaching. Thank you for all that you do, in Jesus' name, amen. We have here, we're going to talk about this morning, Barabbas. Barabbas, his name actually, it's kind of interesting. Barabbas, his name means son of the father, which is kind of interesting. And that's Bar, son. Abbas is the father. And so that's what Barabbas' name means. He is noted in the Bible as a murderer, and he's a notable prisoner. Now, that Bible says that here in Matthew. Let's go over to Mark. Flip over to Mark. We'll read the same account over here in Mark. Mark chapter number 14. Actually, let's flip over to Mark 15. We'll read just that part. Verse number 7, Mark chapter 15, verse 7. The Bible said, And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. So he was basically a rebel. Different people, different views of it. Some people believed he was a pro-Jewish insurrectionist, so that he was raising insurrection against the Romans. And so some people believe that. Some people believe he was just basically a domestic terrorist and was, you know, causing mayhem. And later on it talks about he caused sedition in the city, so an uprising, an insurrection. And he says he committed murder. In John's account, it was considered a robber. And so different things, but obviously not a good man, okay? Whichever way you look at it, he had done things he shouldn't have done. And so we have this man named Barabbas, and Pilate, as we talked about last week, he came to the right conclusion, okay? Pilate came to the right judgment, he came to the right conclusion, but at the end of the day, he made the wrong decision, even though he came to the right conclusion. And so in Matthew, we read that Pilate basically took water and he washed his hands and he said, all right, I'm washing my hands of this situation. Very much a politician. He didn't want to irritate the people. So he washed his hands of the situation and he gave them Barabbas. Now, I guess when I read, and I guess maybe I'm kind of siding on the side of Pilate here, I think, and you know, there again, you can look at it different ways. I think Pilate basically took one of the worst criminals that he could find and he put him with Jesus, hoping, because in his mind there was still the fact that Jesus was innocent, Jesus was just, he had committed no wrong. I think in my mind that he had taken the worst criminal that they had at the moment and stuck him with Jesus in the hopes that, okay, here, which of the twain would you want? Because he asked the people, which one of these men do you want? And they, because of the envy of the Pharisees and what they had put in their heart, I believe that among, it's interesting how a mob works, by the way. And we won't go into everything that has recently happened concerning mobs, but it's funny how you can put two or three people in a mob from the opposite group, if you would, and they can change the whole dynamics of the mob. And you can get, you know, and then they can kind of fade off the scenes and everyone else gets in trouble for something that they were kind of pushed into doing, okay? You can, my personal, and I'm not trying to get off the subject, you know, go back to January, the January 6th thing. In my opinion, there were some people involved in that that were not pro-Trump people, okay? Does that make sense? And they pushed people into something, and then, yeah, okay, maybe they shouldn't have done everything that they did, but I don't think all that was necessarily, but Chad, you're just conspiracy. Well, maybe I am. But mobs do, and you can see this here. And the Pharisees put people in that started saying, you know, crucify Jesus. Well, anybody honestly in their right mind would look at the two and say, well, yeah, let that one go. Okay? So what happened here? It was a mob thing. And I don't know what Barabbas was thinking. Okay? Obviously, Barabbas had done some wrong. He had committed murder in the insurrection, so he was... You know, we could call him a domestic terrorist. We could call him just a rebel. You could call him a freedom fighter if you wanted to. Okay, depends on which side of the fence you're looking at it from. But this is this man Barabbas is laying in prison. Okay, now I don't know how much I don't know what the prison word is for gossip, but I don't know how much prison gossip had gotten into Barabbas here. But at some point, you know, a jailer comes to Barabbas and says, get up. You know, the Bible says he was laying bound with them that had caused insurrection. He says, hey, you, we need you. And I think in Barabbas's mind, there's probably this, all right, this is it. He knew what was coming. He knew his penalty. He knew the penalty for what he had done. They were going to crucify him. Okay? And so they brought, the soldier brings Barabbas out and you know, I think he comes out of the prison. My thinking is he comes out of the prison, you know, dark prison. He comes out in the sunlight, and there is a huge group of people here. And he's like, well, this is kind of unusual. I mean, I think the Romans had a taste for blood. I mean, that's obviously the Colosseum. I think any time that there was people being crucified or executed by whatever manner, I think there was usually a group of people that just came to watch. I mean, that was their entertainment, if you would. And so they brought this man Barabbas out, and he's blinking in the sunlight, and they bring him up before Pilate. And, I don't know if he had already been condemned at this point. I don't know if this was, you know, in his heart, you know, put yourself there, okay? This is it. This is my last day of, you know, this is my last opportunity. And he stands there, and then Pilate says, you know, there's this man standing here beside Barabbas. Now, I don't know if Barabbas had known Jesus before this time. I would think that he had at least heard of him because of the things that Jesus had done. Everyone had heard of Jesus, okay? I would think he had at least, but whether he had seen it. But he's standing near, and Pilate says, which of these two men do you want? Now, you know, there again, go back to that judging thing that we talked about last week. I think just looking at the two of them, you would probably be able to tell a difference in this man. I mean, Jesus, the Son of God, there was an innocence there that you could not, you know, without guile. It was written all over him. I don't think you could even look at Jesus and think anything wrong, okay? And then you got Barabbas, okay? He's just been pulled out of the dungeon. And all of a sudden, those people start saying, let's free Barabbas. And I don't know. I would think be like, who, me? I've been a terrorist or an insurrectionist, and I've committed murder, and they're wanting to free me. Okay? And then, I don't know, he looks at the other guy and thinks, what did you, you know, what are you in here for? You know, what did you do? Why did you do that they want to free me and you, they want to crucify you? Okay, now I don't know. I don't know if there was any conversation. We don't have any record of any conversation between Jesus and Barabbas here. Okay, but the fact of the matter is Jesus is innocent, and we've already established that. All right, that's obvious. Pilate knew that. I think, honestly, the thinking person probably knew that. And then you've got Barabbas. And then you've got Barabbas. This morning we're talking about Barabbas, and the substitution. And this is an amazing thing. Because in all reality, Jesus took Barabbas' place. Barabbas was condemned to die. Barabbas was guilty. And we all, if you're honest, I think in all of these 13 lessons, if you'll be, if we're honest, and I was thinking about this week, I've been Peter before. I've denied Christ in whatever way. I've denied Christ. You know, I've been Pilate, and I've made, you know, I knew the right answer, and I've made the wrong call. Okay, I think in all of these different people, there is something that will relate to us. Okay? And I don't know of a better one than what Barabbas is. Because if you're saved this morning, you were Barabbas. It's like Pastor talked about Sunday night. You know, hey, I'm the chiefest of sinners. And the thing that we, the problem that we, and me and Pastor talked about that message later, you know, the problem, if we have a problem with that, it's because we missed the very first part of his message on Sunday night. If you miss standing at the foot of the cross, you miss everything else. Because in all honesty, I don't care if I'm a, you know, I'm a decent, upstanding, moral guy. When you stand at the foot of the cross and compare yourself to Jesus, we're all sinners. We're all condemned to a place called hell. Okay? And so we see this in the life of Barabbas. He was a condemned man. He was guilty. Everyone knew he was guilty. I think Barabbas knew he was guilty. Despite what Barabbas thought, despite what Barabbas said, well, you know, in his mind, he was probably justified in the killing he had done. The Bible calls him a murderer, though. The Bible calls him a robber. Okay, but in his mind, I'm a freedom fighter. It's amazing how we can, you know, justify things in our mind to make ourselves seem better. Okay, so we have this man named Barabbas. I want you to go back to Leviticus, if you would. Leviticus chapter number 17. Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter number 17. I want you to look at verse number 11. Now this is talking about, you know, I understand this is part of the law, but there's an interesting explanation here. Leviticus chapter number 17, verse 11. The Bible says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Okay? Sometime I'd like to do a study, or not a study, maybe do some lessons on the sacrifices. I think the Levitical, the sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament, I think we skim over that sacrifice thing, okay? I do all my own butchering, all right? I butcher all my own animals. And if you've never done that, I honestly don't think you really have any concept. And I'm not trying to be negative towards you. You don't have a concept of what was involved in these sacrifices. Okay, when you start dismembering an animal, and each part of that animal was symbolic, it really was. The Bible very specifically takes parts of the animal and puts them on the altar. I think about when Solomon made all the sacrifices at the dedication of the tabernacle. I'm talking about tens of thousands of cattle and sheep were butchered. Okay, there's ain't no wonder they had a feast. All right. but tens of thousands of animals. You know, and the Bible talks about they're taking this bullock and they're taking it by the horns and they're killing this animal. And the amount of blood that was shed, okay, in the Old Testament. And listen, it wasn't the blood, it wasn't the blood that washed my sin away of the animals. Though that blood was symbolic of the blood that we just read about being shed by Jesus Christ. Okay? That was a looking forward. And that's what atonement means. It means basically to cover, to make at one, if you would break the word down, at one meant, okay? To reconcile, it's not really reconciliation because we talked about reconciliation, all right? Reconciliation is bringing that together. The blood was basically to cover the sin, okay? But it was looking forward to when Jesus Christ would come, all right? And when Jesus Christ would shed his blood to make that final at-one-ment, if you would, with Jesus Christ, with God the Father, okay? Because the Bible says, for without the shedding of blood, there is no what? Remission of sin, okay? There had to be blood shed. And so for the Israelites, it was that shedding of blood that made, that's why there's all kinds of different sacrifices. There was the sin offering and the peace offering and the wave off. All these different sacrifices were symbolic, but they were symbolic of what Jesus Christ was going to come and do. In Barabbas's, for Barabbas, I think in some ways Barabbas was like the first, you know, the Barabbas and the thief on the cross, if you could put picture it this way, were like the first people that Jesus died for post-death, if that makes sense, okay? Because everybody up to this point, even the Israelites living in Jesus' day, okay, up to the time that he died, if they were still, you know, religious Israelites, they were still making sacrifices. If they still believed that the Messiah was coming to take their place, they were still making sacrifices up to that point. Okay? But when Jesus died on the cross and his blood was shed, that covered, okay, that blood covered the sin. And it's interesting that Barabbas, Jesus took his place. It was a substitute for them. The Bible talks about, and we won't necessarily go there, but the Bible talks about the scapegoat, okay, back in the Old Testament. And what they would do is they basically take their sin and they would put it on that scapegoat. Okay, that's where the term scapegoat comes from. Okay, they would take their sin and they would symbolically place it on this goat and they would send it out. All right, they would send it out. If we go to, let's flip over to Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews is a very interesting book when it comes to, obviously it deals with the Hebrews. Okay, and Hebrews is an interesting book because he's trying to convey to the Hebrews that, hey, listen, the sacrifices, Jesus took the place of your sacrifice. Okay, you don't have to offer sacrifices anymore because Jesus Christ took that place. Okay, Hebrews chapter number 9, look at verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Listen to this, verse 12, Hebrews 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Look down at verse number 22. This is what I just quoted this. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Look at verse number 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. This is what Jesus did. Jesus put away all that blood. Okay, that's why we don't make sacrifices. All right, we don't sacrifice animals anymore. Why? Because we're looking back to what Jesus did for us. One time. He didn't have to keep going in as a high priest. The Bible says he is our high priest. He didn't have to keep going in and dying all the time. He did it once. Okay? So all the Israelites looked forward to that time. We look back to that time. Okay? Verse number 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Folks, this is what Jesus did for me and he did for you. He was that final substitute. He took all of that sin and placed it on his shoulders from all time past to all time future, and he died once. Okay? And Barabbas is, if you would, Barabbas is like the guy that is sitting there in real time, if you would. His real time sin was real time paid for by someone else who didn't deserve to die. Okay? And that's who Barabbas is. And if you would, I'm going to use the two pews up here. You know, okay, so Barabbas is sitting in the seat of condemnation. Jesus is over here sitting in the seat of innocence. Okay? This one, this seat over here, he has to pay a price. Okay, let's go, you know, go to Romans. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is that? That's that condemnation. Listen, folks, we're all sitting in that seat. All of humanity is sitting in that seat. Okay? That Barabbas is sitting in that seat. He is in the seat of condemnation. We are in the seat of condemnation. We just read in Hebrews, and as is appointed unto men once to die. All right, we can go to Romans chapter 5. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were what? Yet sinners. Still in our sin. Okay? Christ died for us. So we're all sitting in the seat of Barabbas. All of us are Barabbas. I'm that man too. Okay? But Brother Chad, I haven't. Listen, if you start going down the I haven't, I'm not as. All right? Okay, it's not about comparing yourself to Barabbas, folks. Right. It's like probably, this goes hand in hand with what preacher talked about Sunday night. It's not about comparing ourselves to Barabbas. It's about comparing ourselves to Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. And all of us, compared to Jesus Christ, are guilty of something. Of a lot of things. Okay, we're all guilty. I'm guilty. And so we're all sitting in the seat of Barabbas. And so what did they do? All right? Well, Jesus took Barabbas' seat. Okay, so if you would, Barabbas, stand up. Barabbas, come over here and stand right here. Okay, so Barabbas is standing behind me where I'm standing. Jesus takes that seat. He pays for it. He dies on the cross and he pays for all that. We read that in Romans. We read that in Hebrews. It's recorded in the Bible. That is what Jesus did for us. But here's the thing. Just because Jesus took your place, okay? Remember, this seat over here is the seat of innocence. This is the seat where God looks down and God sees your justification. Okay, now we're going to talk about justification at some point in our lessons, but God sees your justification. What is justification? Okay, at one means at one, all right? Justification, I use what everyone else uses, just as if I'd never sinned. So that's that, okay? Yeah, your sin's paid for, but your condition in the eyes of Jesus Christ is still an open seat, if you would, okay? You know what salvation is? A lot, Bible says, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. You know what that way is? The seat of indecision. You know where most people are standing in this world is right here behind me where Barabbas is standing. At some point, you have to still accept the gift. Okay? You still have to accept the gift. God doesn't force. I firmly believe in the free will of man. God does not force salvation on anyone. Okay? God doesn't force salvation on anyone. And I also believe that no one is predestined for hell. Okay? That's a Calvinist teaching. Okay? All right? I don't believe that God, and when I say predestined, some people confuse that. You know what predestines me for hell? My sin predestined me for hell. God didn't, okay, God laid the parameters of how all this works, and I step out of the parameters, and I get the consequences. God doesn't just pick him, he's going to hell. God doesn't do that, okay? God will not do that. But so everyone stands right here, but it's up to us to sit down over there. I don't know. We don't know much about, I tried on all these people, and I don't know how much you can, I've got Bible study books and different things like that, and you know, you can Google stuff, and you can do whatever you want. Most of these people that we read about in the Bible, after the crucifixion, they're never heard of again. I don't know. I don't know what happened to Barabbas. There's several different things that believe he was at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And I could see, I mean, there was a lot of people there, I think. Anyway, I don't know what happened. I don't know if Barabbas ever said, wow, that man died for me. That was the Son of God. It wasn't just another man dying for him, okay? That was the Son of God that died for me. That's the one that can save me from my... Or maybe he just went on to do whatever other criminal acts he wanted to do and never accepted Jesus Christ as being the atonement for his sin. So folks, it's important that we understand, listen, all of us have to make that decision. You know, people can live their whole lives, all right, and go to church and do the right things. Well, I'm not a Barabbas. We're all Barabbas. We are all Barabbas, okay? And we all have the decision that Barabbas had that day. Do I accept the gift, okay? For the wages of sin is death, but the what? Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I tell everyone, I always pull out when I'm dealing with somebody, if you see me on dealing with somebody at the altar, if I'm dealing with anybody, I don't know, I pull out a flashlight. I always carry a flashlight. I always carry a knife. I'll pull out something out of my pocket and say, hey, right, if I was to give this to you, right, listen to what I'm saying. What do you have to do for this? And that catches most people off guard because they're like, okay, Brother Chad's going to give this to me. What do I have to do for it? Be good? No. It's a gift. It's a gift. There is something you have to do for it, though. I'm holding it out, but you have to take it. That's the whole thing about a gift. Nobody forces gifts on their children, okay? At least nobody I know of, all right? You don't force gifts on people, okay? You don't force them because that's not a gift. If you force it, all right, it has to be received. It has to be taken. And at some point in every one of our lives, the gift of God has to be received, okay? Jesus sat down. Jesus took our place, all right, at that seat of atonement, all right? And it's that reconciliation that we talked about the very first week. Jesus reconciled. He brought together. In Hebrews, we just read about the mediator. It's basically a legal term. It's, all right, we're bringing this guy and this guy that have differences, and we're bringing them together, okay? And he's that mediator. So we have that in the life of Barabbas. And I don't know. I would hope that at some point in Barabbas' life, he looked at what Jesus did for him and said, wow, it was all paid for. I should have been the one with my hands out on that cross. I should have been the ones, you know, I don't know. Hey, listen, I don't know about the other two thieves that were on the cross beside Jesus. You know, the Bible says there were others that caused insurrection. Maybe Barabbas was laying in between those two guys in the prison. And they picked Barabbas out and said, "Hey, I want you to come out here." And he went free, and then he saw his two friends hanging on a cross. And you know, he looks at that and says, "That could have been me." And folks, listen, that's all of us. If it wasn't for the grace of God and the mercy of God, I deserve an eternity in hell. Okay? But what did Jesus do? He substituted. He was a substitution. What were all those lambs and the bullocks and the calves and the heifers and all of those things back in the Old Testament? They were a symbolic substitution for their sin. Okay? Instead of their sin being placed on their shoulders, it was placed on that animal, and that animal shed its blood for them. All right? I've taught children's church things before, and you think about a child, and I tell a story when I do it. I'm not going to give you the story version, all right? But you tell a story, a young boy raises a lamb. He raises a lamb, and he brings it up, and he nurtures it, and it draws close to him, and they just become the best of friends. And then one day, that lamb, his father talks to him and says, "Hey, we got to take this lamb to the temple." "What, my lamb?" "Yeah, your lamb. We got to take it to the temple." "Why?" "Because this, your lamb has to die for you." You think about that for a child. It's like, why does my lamb have to die for me? All right? You know what? The Lamb of God died for each one of you. Died for me. Okay? But we have to accept that gift. Like I said, a lot of people are standing right here. They're trying to work their way to heaven. They're trying to do good. But the Bible says, you know, we're all sinners. We all deserve to go to hell. And so Hebrews explains that. Romans explains it. And it's very important that we understand that. Jesus became Barabbas' substitute. Barabbas was guilty. Jesus was innocent. Barabbas was sinful. Jesus was perfect. Barabbas was cruel. Jesus was kind. Barabbas deserved to die. Jesus deserved to live. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." Verse 8. "But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 3. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And listen, folks, this is... I wouldn't give my son for all the inmates in the penitentiary. I wouldn't. If all of them could go free, and listen to me, if all of them could go free for the death of one innocent, not that he's innocent, all right? But if all could go free for the death of one innocent person, I still wouldn't do it. But I want you to think about this. If all of those guys in the penitentiary could go free because of one innocent person, okay, they all go free, how many of them would change their life? And how many of them would go right back to the same thing? Okay? And most of them would probably end back up in jail at some point. Okay? You know, salvation's a lot like that. It was, you've given the freedom, but most people won't ever take advantage of it. They're given the freedom right here, but they never sit down in the seat. Okay? And listen, folks, our job is, you know, we can't sugarcoat the whole, you know, not, you can't be saved until you're a sinner. Right. You can't be saved until you realize that, hey, I'm Barabbas too. I'm standing there too. I may have not been a murderer, but go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, and there's a whole list of sins And then it throws liars in on the back end of it. All right? That's all of us at some point. Okay? And then you start talking about what did Jesus see as the law? You know, well, I've never committed adultery. What did Jesus say? He that looketh on a woman to lust after her committed adultery with her already in his heart. Right. Listen, guys, it's not, well, I've never done that. Have we? Come on. All right? And listen, I think it's important as Christians that we understand that Jesus was the substitute. Jesus substituted. Jesus paid for it. He paid it all. All right? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. All right? And let's live our lives in respect. Okay? Yeah, we have accepted that gift of salvation. And like I said, it is a gift you have to accept. Maybe you have accepted that gift of salvation, but are we living our lives in such a way that would bring honor to the sacrifice that was made? Okay? Are we just throwing that away? And let's be sure that we share with others that Jesus Christ is our substitution. He is that final sacrifice that had to be made. Okay? And it wasn't, you know, and we can, everyone's heard the crucifixion thing, but that was a terrible way to die. Terrible way to die. And I can only think of Barabbas watching the man die that took his place, knowing in his heart of hearts that I should have been hanging there. Okay? And if nothing else, folks, we should live our lives with a little more. We're coming up on Thanksgiving this week. Let's live our lives with a little more thanksgiving for what Christ did for us, because he took my place, just like he did Barabbas's. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for this lesson. Thank you for the substitutionary atonement that you've given to us. Thank you for the life of Barabbas. Lord, I don't know what happened to Barabbas after this. God, I pray that maybe one day I'll be able to see him in heaven and be able to talk to him and ask him what it was like to have his place taken by an innocent man. And Lord, not just a man, the Son of God. And Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my place. God, I don't deserve to go to heaven. Lord, I deserve to be in hell. And Lord, thank you for taking my place. Help me never to be cold about that. Help me never to be calloused about the fact that you took my place. Help me to be thankful. Help me to share it with others. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.